Welcome to That 80 Show. My cap hits the mic stand. Dory, I've got an 80s. Let me just switch my hat around. I'm going to go Bart Simpson style. Ooh, I just went Sylvester Stallone and over the top.
You really did.
I turned my cap around.
You did. You look ready for it now.
Are we ready to arm wrestle?
Yeah.
Are we ready to arm wrestle? Wearing my AHA t-shirt?
Yeah.
Fun fact. Did you know that the guy, the director of the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action movie, also directed videos for AHA? You did not know that.
I probably didn't know that.
No.
If I did, I forgot.
Could have put that in 280s Truths and a Lie coming up later in the show, the Halloween edition.
Ooh.
Tis Halloween today. Remember
that,
that holiday invented in the 1980s, Halloween? Dory, I got an 80s kid test for you.
Okay.
How 80s kid are you?
Well, I was one.
We're going to find
kinda.
Out. Kinda.
I was a kid going into teen.
Yeah. So when this song came out, you're a little bit older than me. You're more mature than me. You would have been more mature than me.
Most people are more mature than me.
That's fine. Myself, cousin Louis, we love making innocuous lyrics dirty. Love doing it.
Yes.
Love doing it from the 80s. I want to give you a lyric. I want you to finish it. And the way you finish it tells me if you're a true 80s kid or not. If you're in primary school in the 80s, a Roxette song.
Okay.
And the song went, I'm going to get dressed for
some sex.
There we go. Dory's an 80s kid. Yes. Are you even an 80s kid?
It doesn't make sense. You don't get dressed for sex. You get undressed for sex.
No, but it's funny. You can put on a strap on. You can put like a little fucking red ball in your mouth, whatever they call it. You can put a gimp mask.
Ball gag, a gimp mask. Okay.
That's how you get dressed for some sex.
Okay.
Roxette knew, man. And we thought we were so funny in the 80s as kids.
How funny were we?
Like we're driving home from school and that song comes on the radio. And some sex. Oh, like the kids now with their 6-7 shit. That doesn't make any sense to anybody. Dirty lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you can't play that game because every lyric is filthy. And that's coming from me. I find lyrics so dirty.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is Halloween-y. People say to us, hey, guys, you got to do a Halloween show. You got to do Halloween movies. I say, yeah, we could. Today's show, I got a lot of eerie shit. I've kind of tried to find a lot of spooky, creepy stuff.
Cool. And I actually do have a Halloween-y movie.
Okay. Right.
So I'm with the theme this
unintentionally
week.
Halloween-y.
Mm.
Oh, Dory, this, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. Suzanne Summers. We loved her.
Yes.
Three's Company. Chrissy was her character.
Yeah.
So she passed away a few years ago. Ever heard of her husband, Alan Hamill?
No.
Okay. So Dory, Alan Hamill is spearheading an AI project with a guy that Bill Gates called the smartest man in the world, where they are bringing Suzanne Summers back in AI digital form. So they've basically taken all her books, all her materials, all her movies, all her interviews, and they have created an AI Suzanne Summers that you can now have an interactive experience with, okay? But Dory, it's not just AI. They've created a digital version, a robot of Suzanne Summers. Now, I'm going to show
is
you.
Is it a sex robot?
Dory, this is discussion point. That 80 Show SA Facebook page, go look at it right now. Even look in our show notes, you'll see the picture. That is the robot they have created as Suzanne Summers.
That looks really terrifying.
It looks nothing like Suzanne Summers.
Nothing.
Looks like a sex doll that some people said you can order off Temu. I wouldn't know.
It looks like the Temu version of like a Madame Tussauds version of someone that is not Suzanne Summers.
It doesn't even, yeah. It
does
looks
not
like,
look like her at all.
Like those cheap waxworks. There you go. That does not look like her.
That is weird.
So he's put together
not a sex doll because her mouth is not round.
Well, it moves, Dory.
Oh.
I'm going to play a little video clip, right? Now, you can talk to her and you can interview her, right? And he interviews her. Now, listen, grief manifests in so many different ways. One doesn't know how grief is going to manifest, especially the love of your life. You lose her. You got AI. Bill Gates tells you, hey, this guy's so smart. Let's build
my. You got to do what you got to do.
You got to
right?
do what you can afford to do.
Right.
So now here is a clip of her being interviewed by her husband.
I just am crazy about my husband.
A girl's got to look fabulous, even as a robot.
Maybe we can do a show together.
Oh, I love that idea.
I feel Suzanne is beside me. I know that's weird.
Now, Dory, your face, you saw her talking.
I think my face looks worse than hers.
The mouth does move. Now, to be fair, her face, even in robotic form, probably moves a lot more than Susan Summers' face in the last few years of her life. But so the mouth does move.
Right.
Now, what they're talking about in that particular clip is they are talking to John Ritter's estate to now bring back an AI John Ritter. John Ritterbot. Dory.
Okay. Now, is the woman who played Janice?
She's still alive.
She's still alive.
She is fucking running for the hills.
She needs to literally make a legal document now going, do not AI me.
Nor my co-stars, nor my beloved co-stars.
It's going to be three AIs company.
Who had the neckerchief, Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper? Furley?
I think
whoever, the super camp one with the neckerchief,
yes.
Run for them fucking hills because this is Uncanny Valley. On a next level. You've got to see this shit. Right now, go look in the show notes. The pictures, the videos are there. Now, Hamill, who I said created this clone of Suzanne Summers, this little section I called Three's Company Eerie. Three's Company Eerie.
I like it.
I'll go where that worked. Bill Gates called the guy working on this project with him the smartest man alive. Hamill does go on to claim that he won't be bringing the clone home with him, which makes me think he will definitely be fucking bringing the clone home with him.
And definitely the first thought that crossed his mind.
You know, I mean,
is the first one that crossed our minds.
If you're not bringing the clone home with you, you don't say it. You don't just let people, but to say it now goes, well, you know, we're all thinking it and you're thinking it.
So
and
hang on, where does it live?
It lives in an institute of creepy shit.
Okay.
It lives in a fucking, I hope, far away, very deep underground. That's where I hope it lives. Because this
so he could still go take it out of its box or wherever it's kept, take it to the utilities closet in this institute, and do things with it.
I wonder how much AI memory she has. Like, are there sex tapes?
And the
are
thing
there
is,
personal
they
videos?
They fed Three's Company in. Is she going to be Chrissy? Or is she going to be herself?
Or what was that sitcom she was in with Patrick Duffy? Remember where hers and ours?
I don't know.
It was like she had kids, he had kids, and they got married.
God,
yes.
That was awful.
It was horrid. It was horrid. Really played on the fact that you had two 80s megastars now, you know, coming to this shitty sitcom. You know, people go, where will AI go? Where will AI go? Suzanne Summers' sex bots.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's spooky story. Spooky story.
Very.
Gotta love on that 80s show. We love Stranger Things. Because it keeps us in content. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If people are talking about Stranger Things, talking about 80s, there'll always be 80s stuff popping up. There'll always be songs about the 80s. Fantastic for us. So they're running a very cool campaign, Doritos, which is one of the kind of like partners of the show, doing a really cool campaign of a Stranger Things telethon, right? So Doritos are putting out a limited edition Stranger Things Doritos. Very nice, 1980s looking packaging. Very cool. And to lead up for it, they want you to chip in to the Doritos telethon. Okay.
Okay.
So you can now phone this telethon to pledge support for Hawkins.
Okay.
And your call gets answered by one of Paula Abdul, Alf, or take a listen to this story.
Hello. Thanks for calling into the 1987 Doritos telethon for Hawkins. Para Espanol, diga Espanol. Alrighty. Well, as you've seen in the news, strange things are happening in Hawkins, Indiana. And that's why we're here, so you can chip in with your bold messages of support. But enough out of me. Let me hand the phone to someone a little more famous.
Can you identify that voice?
No, I literally can't.
The Hoff, Dory.
Oh, God. Okay.
So your call gets answered by the Hoff, Alf, or Paula Abdul. So it rotates, right?
Okay.
So that's the Hoff. Questions, did they get the Hoff to do it? Did they make a composite AI of his voice from Knight Rider?
I mean, he would do it.
Of course he would do it. And you know why I think they haven't got him to do it? Because he hasn't made a big spiel about it. Loves a spiel.
Yeah.
It carries on because now he hands over. After you say to Habba Español, you speak to Alf.
Hey there, Earthling. It's me, Alf. You know, alien, furry, funny, wildly underpaid. So who do I have on the line? Not a bad name for a human. Let's hear your boldest message for Hawkins. Whatever you Earthlings need to hear when you're stressed out. So, go ahead. We're just here to let Hawkins know they're not alone. Atta Sorry, human. That was bolder than launching a million balloons over Cleveland. And a lot smarter, too. We'll give Hawkins the message. Thanks for chipping in today, and give us a call again anytime. You never know who's going to pick up around here. Hey! 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 Ow! I am not food! Down! Down!
You know, it serves Elf right for eating cats.
I agree. But now I'm looking. The guy who did Elf, he's not around anymore.
I reckon they've taken...
checking to be sure. Don't want to kill people. No, he's gone.
Yeah, I check on Hoff.
Oh, wait, he's not gone.
He's not.
So he's not gone.
Nothing goes on to say that it is there. But whatever, Dory, it's more about keeping this nostalgia feels. And we haven't heard from the Hoff in a while. So it's just good to have a Hoff mention in there.
I feel like it's cool and all that. It's fine. It's just very like jumping on the bandwagon and...
What band? Dory, it's jumping on a bandwagon 40 years too late.
I mean, I know that's what we... Well, no, we don't jump on the bandwagon. We just do what we love.
We are the bandwagon. No, we love that shit, Dory, because it keeps... I mean, what would we have spoken about? Oh, God. More Suzanne Summer sex bots? You know, if that didn't happen, we'd have like a whole other 5 minutes talking about Suzanne Summers and John Ritter. Yeah. Suzanne Summers and John Ritter sex bots.
Yes.
Doing the nasty. Plugging into each other, you know, completing the, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, so if you had to call the Hawkins line, what would you say?
Well, you can't say anything because it's pre-programmed just to accept anything. So I went and found a whole bunch of clips.
Okay.
It kind of responds to your name. And it doesn't on. It's just voice prompted, and it just goes into the next little bit. It's gimmicky.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to think Paul Abdul sings. That'd be cool. I wish Hoff sang. I wish Hoff picked up the phone. You know what I mean? What's his message? Hoff. What's he telling us about? Anyway, Dory has found her movie on Plex. Those of you who watch Plex, something's changed there now.
Yeah, doesn't work.
It's like it doesn't work. It's very difficult to find movies. There's not a lot of movies anymore.
I can log in. My whole watch list is there, but then when I try press play, it won't play.
Oh, do you see you logged in, Dory? Fuck, you are so scammed. Like, I'm sorry. It was nice knowing your bank account.
Well, so far, so good. I've been on there a while. There's no money in my bank account. So okay, well, good.
Screw you, Plex.
Exactly.
But anyway.
So I thought, okay, if it's on Plex, it's probably on YouTube. Yeah. And boy, was I right.
Or in the toilet, but yes.
Yeah, was I right. And it is a very non-widescreen, badly ripped from VHS. Movie from 1982.
They still have like the little liney things.
Little bit, not too bad. Stretch but I mean, tape. The sound's terrible. The visuals are terrible. Like I could barely see what was going on half the time.
Are the explosions and the gunshots terrible sounding?
Absolutely horrific. So tinny. In fact, one of the reviews of this movie was how bad the special effects are. So they're bad in the first place.
And now they're worse in original, not even digitally remastered Blu-ray 25th anniversary edition.
Dude.
That's how every gunshot sounded in the 80s.
You know it. You like you got that sound down.
I think people were just doing Foley.
This movie, which I'm almost positive you would have seen, and if not, you would really enjoy it. Because this is much more a Paolo movie than a Dory movie.
Oh, yes.
I did decide to go with a Halloween theme for this week. It's the first movie that Demi Moore starred in. Like she was in other movies before, like little tiny bits.
I know it. I was going to do it. This is fantastic.
Parasite.
Let's go.
Parasite from 1982.
And not the Oscar winning one either.
No, not the really good Korean one. Not that one. This is a very bad B-grade horror movie. Well, horror in inverted commas. Called Parasite from 1982. Demi Moore's first movie, which she has quote unquote said, the worst movie I have ever been in.
And she's made some stinkers.
She has.
She made stinkers. I mean... You know, take away the nudity, Striptease was fucking horrible.
Awful movie.
What a bad movie.
And yet we watched it, the whole thing.
Daily.
So, this movie, oh my God. Have you watched it?
Dory, you know what? It's been on my list for ages, but I just keep finding more bizarre shit. But it's like, it goes into my perfect thing. Big star, first role. What the fuck were they thinking? Years later, totally regret the experience, wanted wiped from history.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's perfect for me.
I'm going to read the Wikipedia description, which is actually not accurate for the story, but I'm going to read it anyway. Parasite is a 1982 American science fiction horror film produced and directed by Charles Band. The film is set in a dystopian post-apocalyptic future in which the United States has been taken over by a criminal organization which unwittingly creates an uncontrollable deadly parasite and sets it loose on the population. The last part is not accurate. Because, okay, so it's post-apocalyptic. At one point, there's a billboard that says 1992 on it.
Again, another thing, Dari, post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
You got everything in there. This is like, was this movie made in a lab with the Suzanne sexbot for me?
Dude.
Do I want a Suzanne Summer sexbot? Do I want a Demi Moore sexbot? Am I going off?
Hey, focus.
Okay, sorry.
At one point, you see a billboard that says 1992. I don't know if that's telling you that it's supposed to be 1992.
Okay.
Anyway, it's at least past 1992 in this world.
Right. So 10 years later. Ooh,
basically 10 years later.
Very dystopian, how forward thinking.
We don't know what has occurred that has created this post-apocalyptic world.
Right.
Where everybody, and this is the one thing that I was impressed by, everyone is sweaty and filthy.
That's good.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, The Walking Dead, everyone was far too clean-shaven and clean.
Because sometimes, when you go to dystopian future, people are either filthy or they've like shaved their heads. No one's got body hair because they're like, they don't want germs.
Right.
And they wear similar jumpsuits.
Yeah. So these people, they
live in glass.
And maybe it was also because it was a bad copy of the VHS and it was very dark, so everyone looked dirty. But I do think that everyone was definitely
I like to think you watched a Betamax version.
Personally. Definitely. The opening scene, you think you're watching porn because all you're hearing is and then
it's like a bingo card for me. I can't believe it's not porn.
Exactly. Because then you see that it's this guy who's been taken over by this parasite. Then it's like a flashback to the actual story. And 8 minutes in, there's boobs. But then that is the last boobs for the whole movie.
Whose boobs?
Random woman. Okay. Random woman who's being attacked by some guys.
So they didn't force young Demi Moore against her will. No. She doesn't have agency.
Because she was like 19 when this movie was made.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I saw.
No. Some other random woman who is topless for whatever reason. She's kind of being attacked by these guys. And then our hero, who looks like the Wish version of Jeff Goldblum. I'm not joking. One of the reviews literally said, sweaty Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
Like, he really is... like the Wish version, the Timu version of Jeff Goldblum.
Are people still buying off Wish, or are we just all Timu now?
I think Wish is gone.
I'm still waiting
for my order from 5 years ago.
Okay.
So let's call him the Timu version of Jeff Goldblum. He comes and saves her. The only thing that actually makes you realize this is the future, in inverted commas, is that when a guy comes along, he's got a weapon that shoots lasers.
Pew, pew. Does it make that noise?
I actually didn't pay that much attention. But I mean, a guy's hand gets shot right off and then it lands on the floor and it looks so fake.
Does it like keep moving?
Yes. And it looks so fake.
Can you see the meat?
Kind
of. A little bit of the bone sawed off.
Yeah.
I need visceral descriptions.
It's all on YouTube. Pew! The whole thing's on YouTube.
Fantastic.
For you to watch. In fact, I should maybe just, do you want to watch the trailer like right now?
Oh, let's do it. Okay. Now, Dari, I see it says Parasite 3D.
Yes, it was made in 3D.
Did you watch the 3D, Betamax YouTube version?
No. But I mean, I can see the parts that would have been in 3D. Like, there were things that come out the screen at you.
You are about to witness the future. Be warned. It is a shocking sight. 3D, the ultimate sensation of visual art, now creates the newest, most terrifying form of fear, Parasite.
That thing on your stomach.
A new strain of Parasite. When it reproduces, it will cast millions of microscopic spores into the air.
Just move your legs towards me real slow. Real slow.
Experience the living, breathing, terrifying vision of modern 3D. Parasite. You have only seen the preview. In 3D, you will live the film. Parasite. The first futuristic monster movie in 3D. Parasite.
There are some huge claims in that.
A lot.
Big calls. I did not expect that. Firstly, the 3D.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff comes out the screen.
Yeah.
There is a man who gets thrown through a glass window into the screen.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's meant to be 3D or it's coincidental.
So one of the reviews that I read said that the 3D is not overused.
No.
And it's for effective. Effect. It's effective. So anytime something's like kind of coming towards you, then that's – so there's even a scene where a guy gets like impaled on a pole.
Oh, yeah.
And the camera kind of pans slowly around it. That part would have been 3D as well, that the pole's sticking out. Kind of thing.
It's pretty good.
Definitely the guy going through the window.
I did not expect the parasite to be in the man's stomach. I did not expect to see his stomach.
Yeah.
There's a scene in there where there's people writhing underneath. I assume it's not people. I assume the parasite is under the blanket.
The parasite is under the blanket.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the things that look like it's going to be sex turns out to be the parasite.
Yeah.
Literally. Which you hear moaning.
Depends on your relationship history. Yeah.
So,
you know, the 80s, you know,
tomato, tomato. That description that I read, which is not accurate because it's the post-apocalyptic world, there is some sort of reference to some nuclear rain that destroyed blah, 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 whatever.
Right now, I'm looking at Dory like the little shrugging hands emoji.
This is
not what we do this for.
So it starts with this guy in a lab and he's got this parasite and he is, you don't know what he's trying to put it in some sort of machine, but then a guy comes and like grabs it and then the parasite latches onto, this is our hero, Jeff Goldblum, sweaty, onto his stomach and then that's the movie. Got this now parasite. But he is the doctor.
Does the parasite get passed on to other people?
So here's the thing. So he is the scientist, right? And he is trying to find a cure for this parasite. Mm.
Before it takes...
And then he travels to the small town, population 16.
Wow.
Because post-apocalyptic,
and I'm sure by the end, population zero.
Well, let's say a lot less. But the point is, this parasite has not been unleashed on the population because one is in his stomach and another one is in this silver canister that he carries around like a flask. And that gets, a long story, that gets unleashed onto someone else in the town. It seems to only be the two of them.
Mm.
They do not... procreate, they do not spore, they do not whatever it is.
Kill them, movie over.
Well, so he wants to try and figure out how to kill it while it's in his stomach. And then the other one.
That's the thing with the parasite, you kill it, kill yourself.
The other one gets away from him. So the other one gets away and kills a bunch of people. Meanwhile, this guy's walking around with it in his stomach for days and he seems fine. Lots of plot inconsistencies.
Sorry.
And yes, it does look remarkably like the alien from Alien.
You know, that was my first thought, especially when it comes out of his stomach.
Yeah. There is a great scene where it bursts out of a woman's head. Like that would definitely have been a 3D scene as well. So the gore is there, but very B-grade, very B-grade. I laughed out loud at this movie. Fantastic. It is so bad, it's good.
Fantastic. You know, the proudest moment, this is a very proud moment for me because funny, like vampires, I've imprinted myself on you. Like you now think like me, you look for shit like me. Because people did say this would happen. They said, you guys are eventually going to run out of 80s movies. We said, no, our movies are just going to get really bad.
We've done all the good ones. They're gone.
Really. Like there's no more Breakfast Club here. There's no genre era defining movies left. There's no Back to the Future. We've done the Back to the Future.
John Hughes is in the past. Yeah, we are now looking more at not even John Carpenter, beyond.
No, Steven Spielberg, not for us. We are now Hughes directed.
Charles
Band and executive produced by Erwin Jablans. So that's where we are.
And there was also the guy, one of the writer's names was very funny, but anyway.
Alan Adler. Oh, I see it. Frank Levering, or was it Michael Shoeb?
It was definitely Michael Shoeb.
Way more famous than me, Michael Shoeb. Well done to you.
Absolutely.
Fantastic movie, Dari. Fantastic.
Demi was actually probably the best actor in it.
I can't imagine she's in it a lot.
She's in it a fair amount.
Good. Okay, good. Love Demi Moore. Great movie. Fantastic. Parasite in 3D. Betamax rip.
Watch the bad version on YouTube.
Yeah,
but honestly, it's like not even an hour and a half long. You will laugh.
You know what?
You will also skip through it.
Because
there's a lot of long scenes that could have been cut down.
Like so you'll exposition, just explaining.
Just use that 5-second skip.
Yeah,
won't miss anything.
YouTube's fantastic for that. Yeah. Really fantastic for scrubbing.
Like literally, there's a scene of a guy walking to his car It takes a minute, but it doesn't. It doesn't with the skip button.
That's what I'm saying. Dory, I've got a movie for you that actually stars three Oscar winners, four Oscar winners. Okay, the fourth maybe you wouldn't have heard of. Huge budget, not 3D, but also like a revolutionary new film technique.
Yeah.
But the true story that surrounds this movie is stranger than fiction and would make a fantastic plot point in Heart to Heart. Dory, sit back and let me tell you.
Wait, I want to hear the Heart to Heart theme in my head for a second.
There you go.
Oh, God. Okay.
So my movie comes from... When does my movie come from? My movie comes from 1983. It stars Christopher Walken, who has just come off winning an Oscar for The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
Stars, I know her character, I wouldn't have known her name, Louise Fletcher, who just came off winning an Oscar for One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest.
I know exactly who that is, yeah.
It's directed by Douglas Trumbull, who worked on 2001 Space Odyssey and Blade Runner. Right,
so that kind is of like sci-fi royalty right there.
Right? Yeah. Really revolutionary filming. And it was the comeback movie of Natalie Wood.
Ooh.
Now, Natalie Wood, also Hollywood royalty. She was the little girl in Miracle on 34th Street. She was in Rebel Without a Cause. She was West Side Story. I mean, she was it. Huge in the 60s and 70s. Hugely in the 60s. Took the 70s off to raise a family, her kids. And in the 80s, this was her comeback.
Right.
This movie is called Brainstorm.
Okay, I don't know it.
So the idea of Brainstorm is Christopher Walken and Louise Fletcher, two scientists who are having a little bit, they're scientists, but they're very flirty with each other. Natalie Wood is Christopher Walken's estranged wife. They're having problems at home. But the two scientists come up with a device that records your memory and allows you to upload your memory for other people to experience. Now, something nowadays that's not that out there, remember in early 80s, this is quite a wild concept. I can experience something.
Yes.
Roller coaster, skydiving.
Yeah.
And I can now implant it on somebody else that not only do they see it, they experience it by wearing this device
in their
head.
I think the first time that was really done was Strange Days in the 90s, right? That was when you could see people's dreams.
Lawnmower Man.
Right.
Right. So yes, a lot of these movies were inspired by that, right? So they implicitly say like Brainstorm, way ahead of its time, really great concept.
Mm.
So they come up with this concept. It's going to be fantastic. People can experience all sorts of things. The military goes, we want it.
Of course.
So now becomes a conflict with the two scientists going, listen, we can do real good in the world. The military goes, no, fuck that. We want to use it for wars.
Of course.
And then of course the whole movie unfolds now. So, of course, when Louise Fletcher, one of the scientists, she kind of really speaks out against the government. I'm not going to hand this over to the military. She has a heart attack. Obviously, she gets poisoned or something. We're left to assume she gets poisoned. And as she's dying, she uploads her memory of dying.
Oh.
So now you can go and experience what it's like to die into the afterlife.
Whoa.
A man gets killed. There is a sex tape. Somebody records himself having sex and uploads it, and they play it on loop to a guy who I can only describe dies of orgasms.
Okay. He keeps
having orgasms and then he dies.
That's not physically possible.
Is that what Suzanne Summers' husband's after? Is this, are we just tying inadvertently, are we uncovering, has the meta world placed all these little nuggets in front of us? Anyway, so one guy dies by death by orgasm. That's the only thing that I can presume what happened. And the whole movie is now around that. It's this conflict. And of course, you have this husband and wife thing. She accuses, you know, you're having an affair. He's not having an affair. She dies in this whole battle, this whole thing. Right. That's fine. That's the movie. There was a whole lot of shenanigans in the movie. The studio wasn't really behind it because they thought no one's going to see Natalie Wood. She's washed up. She's an old star. She's 43. Who cares about her type of thing?
Terrible.
Christopher Walken was becoming weird Christopher Walken. He was just, I'm not going to act. I'm just going to be Christopher Walken.
Mm.
With Douglas Trumbull, he wanted to shoot it in a certain way. That's very similar to like shooting in either 4K or IMAX. Or have you ever seen the thing that they shoot The Mandalorian in? that they shoot a lot of movies. I can't remember. It's the immersion, some weird word like that. But your entire set is a screen.
Okay.
So you like stand on a, so it's not green screen. They basically put the entire world, but it's like
exactly
fully around you.
So
it's a lot of like the early days of that.
Right.
But because it wasn't digital, it required like theaters and that to change their projectors and no one was going to do that or whatever. So it compromised. So the scenes, the film's normal, but the scenes where they do experience other memories goes into this like really weird, trippy looking thing.
Yeah.
But that's not the story, Dari.
What is the story?
The story happens. Now, at this stage, Natalie Wood was married to Robert Wagner, he of Heart to Heart.
Right.
Just as they're about to finish filming, Robert Wagner, over Thanksgiving Day weekend, they break filming for it. Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood, they're going to go to Catalina, the fucking Catalina wine mixer, for the weekend. Christopher Walken, not knowing anybody, they invite him to come with. Now, there was rumors that Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood had got very close to each other during the filming of this movie.
Okay.
Okay. Robert Wagner had heard about it. He was shooting Heart to Heart, flew in. He had heard about these stories. But cool, no worries. She goes. They go out drinking one night in Catalina at the fucking Catalina wine mixer. Drink so much that the owner of the restaurant called the, like the, wouldn't be the Coast Guard, but kind of like the water cops to say, listen, huge Hollywood stars here. They've been drinking. They're getting on this little rubber dinghy back to the yacht. Mm. Please just escort them because I'm worried about them.
Yeah.
They go back. Now, accounts of this differ because four people were on the boat.
Okay. Who was the fourth?
It was the captain.
Oh, right.
Dennis Davin. He was the captain.
Okay.
During the course of the night, Natalie Wood ends up on a rubber dinghy, which floats out away, and Natalie Wood dies. She dies that night. They found her body washed up on rocks.
I did not know that that's how she died.
Right?
Why did I think she died of like a drug overdose?
I must tell you. So I got this from a fantastic podcast that I listened to called What Went Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They covered both this movie and Natalie Wood's story. Dori, What Went Wrong is the podcast you and I would be if we did this full time.
Okay.
Except funnier. They're very well researched. They're very clever. They're very good.
I think I've listened to an episode of that.
It's pretty good.
It sounds familiar.
That's a recommendation. Go and listen. Like they do lots of 80s movies. They do like really, and they cover like what went wrong.
Yeah,
like to get a movie made.
But okay.
Fantastic podcast. So I must say like it came at the perfect time.
Yeah.
To this day even, nobody really knows what happened on the boat. Christopher Walken says he missed the whole thing because he passed out.
Yeah.
Yet there are other witness accounts from other boats nearby who say they heard two men arguing, then a woman arguing, and then next thing Natalie Wood is found dead. The circumstances have never really been, they've remained uncertain. Her autopsy revealed bruises on her arms and legs and abrasions on her cheek, which is consistent with somebody falling, having a boat accident, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they ruled it as an accidental drowning. But years later, thanks or due to kind of testimonies by the captain and other people who are around, because all the yachts, they moor like in the same sort of place, came out years later and said things and started telling other parts of the story. The one witness, a few days after the incident, got a letter from Robert Wagner's lawyer threatening that they will never go to the police with anything that they know. Very threatening. Only years later, in 2012, did they come forward and they reopened the case.
Oh, wow.
Her death certificate has been changed from accidental drowning to drowning and other undetermined factors. So not just accidental.
Yes.
Now, nobody really knows. The story's kind of floated around forever.
Is Robert Wagner, he's not still around, is he?
He's passed away. I'll read something about what he says.
Okay.
So now, obviously, you have people arguing. You have these allegations. Did Robert Wagner, like, conspire this whole thing to get them together? Was he going to kill Christopher Walken? Huh? Instead, Natalie Wood.
Why would you invite a third wheel on your
especially trip? When there's rumors, right? So they claim, no, while he was from out of town, he lived in New York. He didn't know anyone's Thanksgiving. You know, production was so short, he couldn't get back home. What's more likely happened is that the dinghy that she was on was bashing against the boat. And Christopher Walken says the whole time they're on the boat, it kept happening.
Yeah.
And she was complaining she couldn't sleep because of it. And during this night, everyone was quite plastered.
Yeah.
She went to now try to remove the dinghy and probably slipped off.
Right.
And that's more likely. Tried to unleash the dinghy, slipped off, and she wasn't in the dinghy. Right.
Right.
That's most likely what happened. And he did say early in the week or somebody had tried to go do the same and they also slipped. So Christopher Walken says this is probably what happened. Robert Wagner in his memoir in 2008 says, did I blame myself? If I'd been there, I could have done something, but I wasn't there. I didn't see her. The last time I saw my wife, she was fixing her hair at a little vanity in the bathroom. She shut the door. She was going to bed. So of course she passes away. No one will ever really know the story other than the three people. And I mean, Christopher Walken, he's spoken about it only once. And he says she slipped. He says like she slipped. Yeah. It's like there's nothing sinister going on. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds plausible. It really does.
Her children don't blame Robert Wagner. They say no, and like it was just purely accident. Here's the creepy thing. Now,
that was the last movie she ever made.
Natalie Wood, being a child star from Miracle on 34th Street, had like navigated from child star into Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Her mother, obviously being a super stage mom, went to a clairvoyant who predicted, said, your daughters must be weary of dark waters. That Natalie Wood never went into water. She would swim. She never went into water that she couldn't see the bottom of.
Huh.
And that ended up being prophetic.
Prophetic indeed.
So now they got this movie that needs to be finished. The studio goes, fuck it. We don't believe in this movie anyway. We're doing an insurance claim. $15 million insurance.
Yeah.
The director goes, fuck that. The movie's almost done. He goes to the insurance company, says for $3 million, I can finish this movie.
And it's going to be huge because it's her last movie.
That's what he tells them. And so the insurance company goes, okay, listen, we're either going to pay $15 million, which we're never going to see again, or we could pay $3 million and we could get some money back.
Yeah.
Give the guy $3 million to finish the movie. Cost him a little bit more to finish the movie. The studio made this director's name shit. Like he was just like, they did everything they could to discredit him and make sure the movie just flopped because they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You robbed us of $15 million. You know, we lost our insurance payout. Finishes the movie flops completely.
Yeah.
Because as the studio predicted, nobody cares about Natalie Wood. We've moved on. It's done.
Damn.
You know, the concept's weird. It's all over the place. So subsequently, the movie's become a cult classic. But more so is this footnote in Natalie Wood passing away during the filming of it.
I never knew any of
this. What a wild story is that?
What a crazy story.
How crazy.
I'm going to listen to that podcast.
You got to listen to it. They covered really well. One of the I've told you so many pieces, but they give you so much detail. It's like way longer than this segment. Preparing for the movie, the director of them wanted them to go to this like kind of facility out in California where they had drugs that simulated the experience of dying.
Alrighty.
And all the actors got taken there and the studio came up and their lawyers were like, whoa, nobody is taking death simulating drugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
That's just how bonkers this movie was.
Oh, wow.
Right. So many things in there. Fact stranger than fiction. Orgasming to death.
Is the movie enjoyable?
Brainstorm. You can see it's like made, it's fucked. You can see it's like there's you can see the point where they're reshooting because they had to get Natalie Wood's sister to fill in as a body double. They rewrote it. And you can start seeing those inconsistent, different directors. So the one director started, you can start seeing all that shit start to happen.
Okay.
It's really clever for the concepts it puts out there.
Yeah.
But we've seen it done so much better so many times. Dare I say, even lived it better in some of the things like VR and things like that we played with.
My movie looks like it was shot in 2 days.
Yes. And everyone involved wanted to throw themselves into the ocean voluntarily. Great, Dorian. Unintentionally, both spooky, spooky, eerie movies.
Mm.
Well done to us. So as we wrap up, I want to play 280s Truths and a Lie. Halloween edition.
Yay.
So that's Dorian's movie, Parasite and Mind Brainstorming. In case you missed that, Dory, I've got three Halloweeny, spooky factoids for you. Two are true, one is a lie. As we play out, number one. On Halloween week 1980, 31st of October 1980, the number one song in South Africa was The Frightening, Winner Takes It All by ABBA. Number two, during filming of Child's Play, the Chucky doll had its own hairdresser to maintain its hair. Two hairdressers got fired for actually cutting its hair too short. And number three, Johnny Depp, the breakout star of Nightmare on Elm Street, never wanted to be an actor. He was just accompanying a friend on the shoot. He gave him a lift. Two are true, one is a lie.
I think the Chucky one's a lie.
The Chucky one is 100% a lie. That's true. In 1980 Halloween week, ABBA was number one. The Chucky one's a lot of shit. And Johnny Depp never wanted to be an actor.
I think I had read that somewhere.
He just went with a friend, and the Wes Craven's daughter saw the photo and said, wow, he's beautiful. Her words, put him in your movie.
Yeah.
And the rest is, he was so bad in that movie. We just went, like that, and then that
nobody
movie.
Nobody cared.
That, whether it was Paradise Hotel, I couldn't even remember the name of the movie. Who knew he'd actually be any sort of a decent actor? Anyway, this has been That 80s Show. My favorite part of the show is Suzanne Somerset's spot.
Oh, yeah.
I actually do want to see the AI Suzanne Somers weird John Ritter Three's Company.
Of course you do.
Run for the hills. Mr. Roper and your naked chief. Thanks for joining me, Dari. Goodbye.
Bye.